Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Crazy start to the day as apparently I lost my wallet, didn't know it. Guy returned it. It was a great deed on his behalf. And I wanted to thank this guy. I wish I knew his name. I wish I knew more information. But he was just a random stranger. Mike, meanwhile, was trying to brush his teeth and put the wrong stuff in his mouth.
Yeah, some icy hot in there. That was a great way to start the day. But then it all turned out pretty well when I got a credit card, I guess. Or is that a bad thing when they raise your credit?
Well, it depends on your spending habits, Mike.
I mean, well, the way I work and spend like a drunken sailor, you know, it's going to be spent immediately. Because, you know, you give me that advance, it's gone.
Yes.
As soon as you give me that money, it's already gone.
Yeah.
So I told Becky, I said, you know, when the traffic's really bad on Las Vegas Boulevard, we'll go from Cosmo to Wynn in a helicopter.
That's one way to get rid of it.
I'm just saying, you know, it is kind of fun though. I mean, you're giving yourself a license to steal because now you know you got this extra funny money. It's like Monopoly,
yes.
Community chess when you win like $200.
Now you do realize once you come back from Fantasyland, because it is.
I know.
You will have to, at some point, repay that money.
And I'm sure, like, at 15-point-something% or whatever they're charging. So. But anyway, but again, but I yes, always...
You got
I
excited
never,
because they upped your
limit. I never, ever, ever... I think you guys know this if you listen to the show. I never think about the long term. It's always about the short term with me, pal.
It is. I can attest to that. Trust me, I've been there, done that with you. It is Dukes and Bell, man. Follow us across all social media platforms. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Come on through and hang out with us. We'd love to get a chance to see you. As Mike said, he got here today, and there is plenty of ice-cold Hey Man Ale.
Yeah, man, grab yourself an ice-cold beer. We got a bunch of listeners, or hopefully listeners. If you're not, I'll wave at you anyway, sir. So come on down and enjoy the goodness. We got some beautiful ladies that want to talk to you. Also, shout-out to my buddy Jono, Florida State buddy of mine. He's turning 50. It's his birthday this weekend.
51?
Yeah, man. He actually graduated from Florida State. We were in the same class, but he actually, you know, was book learning and stuff. And his very hot wife, Ashley. So there you go right there.
Happy birthday, man. Make sure you take care of that guy. It's on Mike Bell.
Yeah, man.
Coming up, we've got a chance for you to hear Calvin Ridley, guys. We told you yesterday he stopped by, joined the show. We let you hear a little bit of what he had to say about Dan Quinn. But wide receiver Calvin Ridley on the way in less than 15 minutes here on the program. So can't wait to hear and see what he does, should I say. Not here, but I want to see what he does in year 2, Mike. 10 touchdowns. 10.
Well, and, you know, he did, and you'll hear the conversation, there was a learning curve and there was that rookie wall that really does exist. That's not a media thing. That's a player thing, and they'll be the first to admit it. So hear what he had to say. There were a couple of days where, let's be honest, he missed some routes, and it did actually – Matt's interception numbers would probably be down at least 2. Only be 5 on the season if you really get down to brass tacks in the days where Calvin maybe zigged when he should have zagged. But for 10 touchdowns and the production, because you still got Sanu's going to get the ball and Hooper in addition to Julio, and about 800 and change yards, that's a hell of a rookie season.
It really is, man. And he's such a likable guy. I mean, we dig Calvin Ridley for what he stands for. He works hard.
Win or lose, he was always talking to us in that locker room.
No doubt. No doubt. So, well, you'll hear Calvin coming up in just a little bit. Hey, before we get to the NFL Blitz, I do want to address something because some guys on social media have asked me about this. It can be a difficult conversation because it's so easy to go down the route and, you know, that people have taken it there. And the question is simple. What's going on with these NFL hirings with the head coaching situation in the NFL? And Mike and I have alluded to this, right? Everybody talks about it being a copycat league. And, you know, you hire a couple of young guys with not as much experience as other guys around the league. And you go, well, wait a minute. You had, you know, X amount of black coaches fired, but there have been no minority coaches hired since. And, guys, I don't have an easy answer for you. What I would tell you, though, is the mark, Mike, in my opinion, keeps moving. And I was having this conversation with Lewis Riddick this morning. I heard him, and I texted him, and we were talking about this just a little bit because, you know, it's so easy to go, well, it's racism. It's not racism. Understand what owners are looking for and what has happened in the National Football League. And, guys, this is a trend, and it'll shift. And there was a trend where coaches, or should I say teams, were looking for guys with the defensive experience, Mike. The Tony Dungys, the Mike Tomlins of the world, okay? These guys came from the defensive side of it, the Lovie Smiths. And then we have a shift now, and you're seeing this shift because of what's happened in the NFL. And I'm not saying it's right or it's fair, but the unfair part of it is the guys in the positions they're looking for, you don't see African-American quarterback coaches. The one African-American coordinator who probably should be getting some run, Eric Bieniemy, who is with Kansas City, is not. So it's not racism. It's not, oh, they're X-ing guys out. It is simply the NFL, Mike, and the shift to young, offensive-minded guys who worked with quarterbacks And there are not that many minority guys who are getting that opportunity.
Who apparently have to look exactly like Sean McVay.
And mean, that's the other side of it.
You know, Dale Hansen, the legendary Texas broadcaster who is outspoken in his social commentary, and a guy who's old enough where he can say whatever he wants, and it carries a lot of gravitas, WFAA in Dallas, he signed off on this the other night, talking about everything you just laid out. Everybody wants the next young offensive coordinator, and apparently they've got to look and sound just like Sean McVay. Matt LaFleur has limited experience, got the job. You know, we talked about
Cliff Kingsbury.
The Cliff Kingsbury thing, in all seriousness, it doesn't make an iota of sense.
None.
He's accomplished nothing in the NFL. He's not even a winning coach in college. But people just think of this guy as they want that dynamic young offensive mind, and that's where they're going to go. Now, to take the flip side of your argument, if you want to say that it's not fair that black coaches aren't getting hired, well, five black coaches just got fired.
Right.
So they had been hired, and coaches get hired, and they get fired all the time in the NFL. In the case of Todd Bowles, he lands on his feet in Arizona. Vance Joseph lands on his feet. He's going to be a defensive coordinator. So guys will have other opportunities. Raheem Morris, who's on our staff, he was a very young coach. Whoever thought it was going to be the next Mike Tomlin.
That's right.
He flamed out down in Tampa. So there have been young African-American coaches. Now, again, you can count them on less than, well, three fingers. But I know what you're saying, Carl. Hopefully these guys with the experience will get the shot, because I do think this is kind of a folly. I think a bunch of these guys like Kingsbury are going to flame out, and you're going to realize this was a bad mistake.
I don't disagree. You can always chime in, guys. 404-741-0929. That's our text line, and we'd love to hear from you. It's easy to go that route.
Oh!
But there's more to it. Here's my issue, though, Mike. You keep moving the mark. You know, there was a time where I can remember having this conversation literally 20 years ago and going, well, there's not enough minority assistant coaches. Okay, now there is. And then you got to a point where, well, what does it take? And the Rooney Rule came about. Well, they're not getting interviewed. Okay, so let's make sure they do get interviewed. And then now they're getting interviewed, and you go, well, you know what? We need guys who work with quarterbacks and, you know, offensive-minded guys. Well, those positions aren't being given to African-Americans. There are not many African-American quarterback coaches around the league, so the mark keeps moving.
Well, I mean, Bruce Arians is on Dan Patrick before he's even announced as the head coach of Tampa Bay. So, I mean, in some cases
– But Bruce is proven, right?
He's been there. But now I'll give you another side to this equation. And if you want to say it's not just about the race issue, how about age discrimination? A guy who's won a Super Bowl, coached in two, and had one of the most prolific offenses up until last year is Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy can't get a job right now. So everybody wants this young boy band, 5 o'clock shadow, you know, Sean McVay clone. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Adam Gase getting the Jets job, I mean, I don't know what that's about, although they do think they're going to get Greg Williams, so they feel they'll have the best offensive mind, best defensive mind. Same thing you're seeing in Denver with, obviously, Gary Kubiak on one side and Vic Fangio, the head coach, and a defensive-minded guy the other way. Those might work out better than these guys going with guys with no experience. They don't have to put staffs together who've never been in the NFL, in Kingsbury's point ever, in Matt LaFleur's point, just a number of years where he's had exposure as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and as much as we like LaFleur as a person, okay, because he was with our team, he's not accomplished anything to be given this opportunity to say, oh, you're the next head coach of Green Bay. Oh, and you go get to work with future Hall of Famer, you know, Aaron Rodgers. You've not accomplished anything to do that.
I will say this, though. In hindsight, knowing that Steve Sarkisian had never coached this offense, I would have rolled the dice with continuity if Matt would have signed off on it. I don't know if Matt LaFleur had a relationship. But I would have taken a guy who worked with Kyle Shanahan for two seasons and rolled the dice with that, as opposed to bringing a guy who's never coached that offense. I still stand by that. A lot of guys saying you're nuts. If you could have paired him with an older coach.
You needed somebody to bring in some experience, yes.
Like, you've got Matt LaFleur coaching Green Bay.
Well, Mike.
And you brought up, who do we have on the show who's going to be coaching the American Federated Football Amateurs League?
Oh,
Brad Childress.
Yes, Brad
Childress goes up there to be the OC. Mike Vick, by the way, is staying with the Atlanta Legends. That report that he was leaving apparently was erroneous. Jeff Schultz had that last night on Twitter.
Okay.
So some people jumped the gun. Childress did leave, though, as the head coach of our Atlanta team, whatever that league is.
You should have done what you did this time around, and that's bring in two experienced guys to be around him if you were going to go that route.
Right.
Either way, guys, this is the curious hirings of the National Football League, and that's why we're talking about it. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live in Twin Peaks Buckhead. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Hi.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's get into some of these games, man, because they are intriguing. We talked a little bit about the Colts and Chiefs. I want you to hear from Pat Mahomes. I agree, Mike. I think he's going to be the MVP with what he's done. I'm over. Oh, a rookie can't win it. Look at this kid's numbers. Look at what he's done.
He's a second-year player.
Yes, I say that. First year playing full-time. Mm-hmm. This is the first time he's played 16 games in a season. I don't buy into any of that stuff. The experience part of it is if you perform at a high level, you should be up for these awards. You should be a candidate to win the MVP.
Look, I think Mahomes is going to score 4 or 5 touchdowns, but the Colts might score 5 or 6.
I agree.
It's not Mahomes' fault, but that defense just can't stop anybody.
Here is Pat Mahomes talking about, when you see these kinds of games growing up, this is what you live for.
I mean, for me, it's my first playoff game. I'm excited just to be here and then at the same time get the opportunity to go out there and win games like this. I mean, when you grow up, you want to go and play games like this. When you get older, you want to be a professional athlete and you want to win on the biggest stage. And so for me, it's about going out there, and like I said, be myself, lean on my teammates, and try to go out there and win a big football game.
I like the Colts. I just think they're playing their best football. We always talk about going into the playoffs hot. There's no team hotter right now outside the Colts.
They're in a lot of top tens right now. Top 10 in rushing yards. You know, as far as defense, they stopped the run. You know, they lost their best running back because of suspension in Kansas City. You've got, obviously, a tremendous dynamic passing offense. You got Kelce at tight end. It's Andy Reid. It's like, I swear he's born under a black cloud. I mean, they always seem to get the hot team rolling through Kansas City, you know? And now last year it was self-inflicted. He did some stupid stuff. He forgot about his biggest weapons in that playoff loss to Tennessee.
Kelce?
Well, no, and his running back, he forgot about Tariq Hill and Hunt.
Yeah.
But getting back to this game, Andrew Luck's on fire. They protect the quarterback. They get after the quarterback. You saw what they did. I mean, let's be honest. The Texans weren't even in that game at any point down in Houston.
No, the Chiefs do have a great pass rush. Justin Houston and those guys get after it. D Ford is on that front seven. That's going to be the game to me is going to be won there. Chiefs getting pressure on Andrew Luck, or do the Colts protect like they did last week?
Well, you know, that's what makes, you know, it's so interesting what we're trying to do here in Atlanta with the Falcons, Carl. Look what the Saints have done in just a couple of seasons through the draft and free agency, and the Colts mostly through the draft. They protect their quarterback. They get after their quarterback. They don't let Drew Brees and Andrew Luck get hit. And conversely, they come after your quarterback. And that's what we've been trying. I mean, unfortunately, we really did a nice job of that in 16, but we haven't since consistently.
Talking about the Cowboys-Rams Saturday night on Fox, here is Jason Garrett, guys. Talking about the fact that, you know, the first thing they got to do is try to stop Todd Gurley.
Yeah, they're really good in every aspect of their offense. They run it well. Play action game, like you mentioned, is really good. You know, number 30 is a hell of a football player. So, every week it starts with trying to stop the run for our team and for probably most teams in the NFL. But there's so much that they do off of that challenge every time the ball snapped.
They are expecting a ton of Cowboys fans. L.A. Times article today said they think there's going to be 20,000 Cowboy fans in the L.A. Coliseum.
Yeah, they train out there.
I mean, they're one of those heritage teams. They're always going to travel well. Here's a stat for you. Want a fact? You want a fact of the day?
Absolutely.
Dallas, 16th in the NFL in total takeaways. The Rams, 3rd. So the Rams are getting picks. They're getting turnovers. They're creating fumbles. Dallas does have a great young defense with guys flying all over, but the Rams do a better job of certainly in the turnover margin over the course of the season.
This game, for me, is a toss-up. There's two ways to look at this. If the Rams blow it, that's 2 years in a row that they've lost in this round of the playoffs, Mike, after we went out there and beat them last year, right? You turn right back around, and now you're going to lose to a Cowboys team, potentially. All that genius juice, as we talk about with Sean McVay, may not be there.
Well, if you can stop Gurley, isn't that the way to see McVay get a little too cute sometimes and get away from some of the fundamentals? What is Wade Phillips going to do to stop Dak Prescott? You got to stop Zeke and make Dak beat you, don't you?
You do. That's the thing. I think both teams go in saying, we got to stop the run game. And which guy is going to be more difficult? Is it Zeke or is it going to be Gurley? I think it's a toss-up. It's a 7-point favorite for the Rams if you're going by Vegas. But this one is a little bit more difficult for me to pick because as much as I think the Rams are probably the better team with Aaron Donald and company, the Cowboys have shocked people. And I think, again, right. Dak is making the plays that you need him to make. Let's hear from Phillip Rivers, man. Is this his year? Is it finally Phillip Rivers' time to maybe get to a Super Bowl? Here's what he had to say about playing in New England.
I'm not playing Tom by any means, but is it special to go to New England against the Hall of Fame coach and arguably the best quarterback ever to play and get another shot at him? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, it is. It is special.
Now, you could certainly argue that the Chargers get after the quarterback. They got a great defense.
Yes.
They basically replicated what the Browns did against Lamar Jackson by using all their safeties and their quicker linebackers to sort of create that second line of defense. But they're going to go back to what they do best, which is that, the front seven really creating some havoc. I tell you what, I think Sony Michel, I said this earlier in the week, Sony Michel might be the X factor. Those dump off passes, combination of both, in between the tackles and catching the ball.
Tom Brady.
Who do you like, by the way?
I like the Chargers.
All right, we both like the Chargers. We both like the Colts, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's hard to pick against the Patriots, but I just don't think this is the best Patriot team we've seen. And defensively, the Chargers are going to do some things that are going to really bug Tom Brady. I'm not going to tell you they're not going to score. They won't be in the game. That's nonsense. But I think the Chargers defense is legit. Here's Tom Brady talking about this Charger team.
Great football team that played well on the road all year. And it's going to be our biggest challenge in all phases. There's no doubt about that.
I got to get Drew Brees in here real quick because everybody's saying it's payback time. Eagles got humiliated earlier this season. Brees, what do you think about this Eagles defense?
Jim Schwartz has done a great job with that defense, you know, since he's been there. And obviously they've had a lot of guys banged up this year, and which he deserves even more credit. You know, done a phenomenal job with the way that they've had to, you know, shift and move at times, and a lot of guys playing different positions and being shuffled around. But I think they've done a great job with it. You know, when we played them early in the season, they just lost one of their corners, and so, you know, they had to shuffle, and then they lost one or two in the game. So I think you see them over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, coming into their own. Again, you know, each team they play, there's a different game plan, but you know, whatever they do, they do it well. They execute it well.
Sproles is back for the Eagles. He also missed that Saints game, the former Saint. Maybe he might have something to say on special teams, too.
You picking the Saints?
Yeah, everyone is enamored with the Foles factor, how they just seem to really rally around Foles.
Yeah.
And it's not a secret, but Carson Wentz, it's official now. He is out for this game. Not that anyone thought he was going to play. But I just, in New Orleans, and anybody who's a Falcon fan who's made that trip, you know how tough it is to win down there at Superdome.
All right, guys, more playoff talk on the way. Calvin Ridley as well. But right now, let's give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Summer, S-U-M-M-E-R. Summer is the code word. Text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right now. If you're here at the bar, by the way, you can text and win as well.
You know, I love to see a man get on his phone. He wants to win $1,000, man. $1,000 is $1,000. You text the word summer. Oh, my God, summer. We're going to Twin Peaks. Summer, S-U-M-M-E-R, goes to 72881. Go win some loot.
Calvin Ridley joins us next. Find out what he thinks, not only about what happened in this offseason already with the coaching hires, but what does he have to say about Coach Quinn? It's next. It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to talk to Seth Emerson from The Athletic. They have decided on staying in-house with their hire for their OC. More about that coming up. But right now, I want you to hear from Calvin Ridley. Mike and I had a chance to visit with Calvin. And listen, guys, he was everything we expected this season. 10 touchdowns, and you'll hear what he had to say. But the first thing, you know, we asked him was, did you prove that you were the best wide receiver taken in the last draft?
I feel like I played all right for the Falcons. I could have had a better season, but, you know, it really wasn't about proving to be the better one. It's just, you know, trying to play to help the team win, really.
Well, you did that, man, and leading the whole team in touchdowns as Calvin Ridley here joins us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I mean, they talk about, like, rookie wall. Was that a thing? Did you feel it any kind of, like, letdown at some point, or was it all good?
Oh, yeah, I definitely hit a rookie wall. I mean, I really just got tired mentally and body. My body kind of got tired, so I got to find ways, you know, I got to train my body. I got to, you know, take this off season and, you know, get my body right in so it can last for the long. This is a longer season in college. Get my body and mind right.
Well, no doubt. And I think that adjustment happens for a lot of different players as they get into the NFL. We're going to talk to Calvin about what he's doing with the Super Bowl and Pepsi and Kroger in just a second. Calvin, obviously the changes that have happened with our football team and the coaching staff, how do you feel about it? What was your relationship with Sark? Obviously, you know, you made a lot of plays for us, but how does this affect you maybe moving forward?
Yeah, I had a good relationship with Sark. I mean, I can't do nothing about it. At the end of the day, it's a business. And, I mean, the coaches, the Falcons are going to do whatever they think is best for their team, for the team. And I'm excited for a new start again. I mean, I guess it's going to be new plays. I don't know yet. I haven't heard anything. But, yeah, I'm excited. I love football, and I'm ready to get back to work and so we can get our season, our winning season, and make it to the playoffs and do what we have to do. So I'm excited.
Calvin Ridley with us here on Dukes and Bell, man. 12.8 yards per reception. And if you thought you had fun this year with Sark, you're going to love Dirk Cutter. He's all about the vertical passing game, man. So you should have even more fun, maybe even more touchdowns, my man.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, man. So, man, I'm pumped. Either way it goes, I'm pumped.
Talk a little bit about what's going on with you and Kroger and obviously Pepsi during this new reveal that's going to happen. Actually, today, I think it gets revealed. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, I got a chance to work with Pepsi. I mean, you know, they've been an NFL sponsor for a long time, and it was really, really cool. It was with Kroger and Pepsi. We were, surprising fans, lucky fans with their groceries as they came to pick them up, and it turned out to be great, man. They were the fans were really, really surprised that athletes was bringing their groceries to them, and we had a whole band with us, and so it was really, really, really dope. And the reaction of the fans, man, it was hilarious. They all danced. They were so surprised, and it just turned out to be a really, really great day. I had a great time. I had my own little room that I sat in, and it was like real deal. So I really had a good time out there.
You get to see the video, guys. It'll be out coming up today and this weekend as he was bringing Tostitos and Pepsi products and making a whole lot of people happy. All right, Calvin Ridley, I know you can't be happy about what happened in the national championship game. We got to talk about it. You surprised about what happened with Clemson and Bama?
Yeah, I was very, very surprised. I couldn't believe it. I mean, as I was watching, I was like, man, I can't believe it. It looked like we giving up. I mean, it looked like we weren't trying at all. I didn't understand.
Clemson. Now you knew what it's like to beat Clemson, but boy, maybe just Clemson—they had their stuff together, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they had a great game plan. They had great players on their side, and honestly, they just played a great game. And we can't win them all. We work hard to win them all, but next year, we have another chance and another opportunity. To go ahead and, get another national championship. But it was crazy.
It was. Calvin Ridley, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. So now that the season is over, how much attention are you paying to these playoffs? This weekend, Mike and I have been talking about, all the games that are going on. Colts are hot. Chiefs are in it. Obviously, some of these teams you had a chance to play against and see. Or do you not watch any of this?
Yeah, I'm definitely watching it. I actually went to the Eagles and Chicago's game, and that one was wild. That one was wild. But, yeah, I'm going to watch the Colts definitely. I think they got a pretty good team. They got something going. And I definitely think the Cowboys are doing really good, too. I think they got something going. So I'm going to be watching all of the teams, yeah.
Now, in this offseason, you got your brother Riley Ridley leaving Georgia, heading to the NFL. I mean, did you give him any advice? It was all his decision, and what do you think about him going to the next level?
Yeah, I gave him a little bit of advice, and I think he's making a great decision. I think he's definitely ready, and I think he's going to definitely prove a lot of people wrong and run fast, and, he's going to do all the right things. But I'm very, very proud of him. I think he's, he's at that point where, it's time. So, and I'm very proud of him.
Remember, guys, Calvin Ridley, it's going to be released today. It's Click and Pick Up, and Kroger's the perfect one-stop shop for fans to get ready for game day hosting and tailgating. And you just heard Calvin talk about the fact that once you see the videos and the commercials that are out there of him delivering groceries, but it's easy. It's Click and Pick Up at Kroger along with Pepsi. Hey, Calvin, as we talk about the Falcons, did you see a change in Dan Quinn as the season went along this year and the losing, it persisted when we went on that five-game losing streak? Or was he the same guy throughout?
No, he definitely was the same guy throughout. He always, always, always believed that we were one of the better teams in the NFL. He never, even though we were losing, he just really couldn't. I feel like he just really couldn't figure out like why. We got all this talent. We practice good, we practice hard. Why can't we finish the games out? So he always believed in us that always told us that we are the number one. We are a good team. We go out there and fight with, one of the baddest teams. So he never doubted us. So I can say he never changed.
Calvin Ridley with us here, guys, on the WaitFor.com hotline. And that's the thing, man. If everybody stays healthy on the defense, we beef up the offensive line. You see the kind of offense and the kind of points we can score.
Oh, man, we really have it. We honestly have it. I can see it. I see it every day that I was there. And I kind of got frustrated myself with the losing and couldn't understand why we couldn't finish the games either. But, man, I'm ready to be, I want to be a part of a championship, a Super Bowl, playoffs. And that's where I want to be. That's where I think we're going to be next year. So
I'm going to work hard to, you know, put myself in a position and help the team any way I can.
Well, Calvin, we're excited about your future. Obviously, we're glad to have you, man. And thanks for being kind and certainly giving Mike and I time whenever we get a chance to see you up there at Flyer Branch during the season. I know it was sometimes frustrating, but we appreciate that, man. And we'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
Thank y'all.
Such a good dude, man. And you hear it from players. They talk about, you know, what's the difference? Well, you're playing a 16-week schedule. Continuous. You get the one bye week, as you guys know. But for a college player to take that, and there is around, you know, November, December, they kind of, whoa, this is real, isn't it? Next level. But what a great first season by Calvin Ridley. And now the good news is, as I told him in that interview, Carl, is Dirk Cutter will get even more out of him.
I mean,
if the offensive line will hold, if Thomas, and if you missed that interview with the morning show, they've got to go, and Thomas talked about it. They might not be first-tier shoppers. So what does that mean? Well, that means we're going to be doing it on a budget. That means we're not going to Target. We're going to Dollar General to find our offensive line.
You know, that first day of free agency, and we're always excited. And I will be again this year because I always hope. And the last time we did something on that first day was Alex Mack a couple of years ago, right? Best center available. We went out and made it happen. Does he mean, and I don't know, we're going to have to wait and see. Does he mean, though, we're talking about Thomas Dimitroff, Mike, that on that first day, that first 2 or 3 days, that we won't be shopping. But maybe we're shopping on day 4 or 5. I don't know. I mean, the problem in the NFL, and I was talking with Bo about this earlier today, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks. Coming up, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte. Also, 4 o'clock, Seth Emerson from The Athletic to talk about the Dogs. You know, in Major League Baseball right now, and in the NBA as well, you have a problem. And the NBA and Major League Baseball will say it's not an issue. But you have average players making superstar money, okay? And because the money is guaranteed with these contracts, and there is no salary cap in baseball, but there is in the NBA, you've seen this disparity happen where guy 11 on your bench is making $17 million, okay? And in the NFL with the salary cap, the problem is now has become that an average lineman is making star lineman money.
Right.
Because of the need. We talked about this last year. Remember, I think it was Andrew Norwood. We were talking about guards. We wanted to go get Andrew Norwood. And he got a huge contract, and he was one of those top
He got an agents. Alex Mack type deal at guard, basically.
So I'm just saying, I'm not defending the Falcons. I want us to go get what we need to get. But I think Thomas is alluding to the problem that you have average tier guys who are commanding top dollar who aren't top dollar players. And so how do you maneuver that? That's where the scouting and understanding what guys do well comes into play for your football team.
And that's the thing, guys. You know, moving forward, the Falcons, we know what we need. How do you do this? How do you find guys that you can fit under the cap but aren't going to stink? And can they stay healthy? And that's another thing. Are we going to get more guys in their 30, 31? Because that didn't work out with Fusco. We've got to get younger guys. Now, maybe Ty Sombrello, who Dan Quinn seemingly was impressed by late in the season, will up his game. The problem, guys, we're going to get 2 out of 3. Okay. We're not going to be able to get 3.
Three.
One of these guys is going to be some trouble. Now, it can't be the right tackle. That's for darn sure, right?
Hopefully, you know, maybe one of these guys comes back and can really help us. Hey, coming up, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte's next. Come on out, have a Hey Man Al. We're live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Dukes and Bell.
All right, guys, we're live at Twin Peaks. Coming up, we're going to talk with Seth Emerson. He is with The Athletic, Mike, and we'll get more information on what's going on with Georgia and the hiring of their new OC, a guy that was in the building. Some dog fans, I don't know, lukewarm to it, I guess. Either way, we'll find out from Seth Emerson coming up. Right now, though, let's hear from our man, Mike Conte, in case you missed it. He's back at the studio. What's going on, Mike?
Okay, guys, so Julio Jones is out in Los Angeles right now, which is where he hangs out for much or not all the offseason. And when you're out in L.A., the TMZ camera will find you. Yesterday, Julio walking outside of a dry cleaner. I swear to God I'm not making that up.
And it's true.
And TMZ guy comes up to him and starts asking him questions about, yeah, Sark had to go, right? And Julio didn't answer that. And, hey, you excited to work with Dirk Cutter? And Julio didn't really answer that. But the final question I thought was the most interesting, and you might not be able to hear this super clearly because Julio was not mic'd up, but it was a question about maybe a potential teammate coming to join the Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, last thing, man. What do you think about AB maybe joining the Falcons? Would you like to see that?
Who that?
Antonio Brown. Would you like to see him join the Falcons?
Nah, man. We tight over here. We good over here.
You good over there?
Yeah.
You're the man. You take care.
Now, again. Again, Julio not mic'd up. He said, nah, man, we're tight over here. We're good over here. So Julio's dumping cold water on an already extremely unrealistic possibility of Antonio Brown coming to play for the Falcons.
And, Mike, for what it's worth, Squidbill and I were talking before the show. Las Vegas, now it used to be the old Imperial Palace, had all the crazy prop bets. Now it's Westgate. But they had a prop bet that the Falcons were the best odds-on favorite for Antonio Brown's landing spot. I guess, that would mean I guess that would mean on another planet we would trade Julio for the Queen Diva. And for years, Mike, Carl and I, we'd argue and I'd say, I'll take Antonio Brown over Julio. No thanks. I'll take a few less touchdowns for a lot less drama and a lot more work ethic. Antonio Brown is toxic at this point. Might not be a stealer, but yes, sir, I'm with Julio. We tight over here. We're good, Carl.
Mike, can you play that again? I'm going to give you my interpretation of what Julio just said.
Hey, last thing, man. What do you think about AB maybe joining the Falcons? Would you like to see that? Antonio Brown, would you like to see him join the Falcons?
Nah, man, we tight over here. We good over here.
You good over there? Yeah. You're the man, man. You take care.
Are you crazy? I'm catching 100 balls a season. I got Ridley taking touchdowns from me.
Right.
Snoo. Hoop. No, man, we're good. I don't need AB here. I'm straight. I don't need that right now. Julio, that's the translation from
and
Julio.
And, Mike, I don't believe that Antonio Brown would fit the brotherhood. His warrior spirit does not seem to match ours. Dan Quinn's words.
I love Julio for saying it, though. Seriously, for all the foolishness and silliness Mike and I are having right now, why in the hell would you want Antonio Brown? Honestly. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever. Now, the other side of that is somebody right now is in their car, Mike, going, well, you guys are idiots. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't want Antonio Brown.
No, the touchdowns are there, Mike Conte, and it's just the aggravation, the nonsense. Who doesn't show up with your season on the line? He's not even in the building. That to me is the definition of selfishness. No interest whatsoever.
Now, Rick Riley, no interest whatsoever. this is a guess. I mean, and this is completely unscientific, but spent a lot of time in my life in Western Pennsylvania. Your wife, Mike, is a Pitt grad, and I know she's from Western Pennsylvania. Antonio Brown does not fit the blue-collar lifestyle of the city of Pittsburgh, and I am going to guess that probably any plus percent of the people calling into Sports Talk Radio in Pittsburgh today are fully behind the idea of getting rid of Antonio Brown, because the Hollywood stuff never flies in Western Pennsylvania. I promise you that. Right. Doesn't matter how good you are, when things go south and you're a Hollywood guy, they want you out of town.
Art Rooney has come out in the Post-Gazette. I know some folks have seen this, and basically said that all the options are on the table. And I don't see Antonio Brown back as a Steeler. There was a time where, you know, and this is why we talk about the Steelers and the Patriots. It's in case you missed it with Mike Conte, who just played an audio soundbite of Julio Jones out in L.A. basically saying, no, we're good. Atlanta Falcons don't need Antonio Brown. The Steelers were very much like the Patriots in the fact that it didn't care who you were. They were willing to move on from you. They drafted well. There was no one bigger than the organization. And for whatever reason, Mike Tomlin has tolerated this nonsense because they were winning. Well, you're not winning now. So it's time to move on from the nonsense. And I think the Steelers are going to get back to that by moving on from Antonio Brown.
Hey, Mike, could you see, speaking of Hollywood, we see Brandon Cooks on the move again? I mean, you got to make the numbers match salary-wise. That's one of the things that Bo Morgan was pointing out the other day. So he's going to land somewhere, but it could be more of a trade than and a trade in draft picks, and it's all got to make the money work. But
yeah.
You went from being a favorite to maybe get to the Super Bowl in the AFC to not even making the playoffs, and now a total soap opera.
Yeah, no, and you still have the Le'Veon Bell thing that needs to be resolved somehow. It's been a mess in Pittsburgh, but I get the feeling most Steeler fans are okay with this being the outcome. Now,
by the way, real quick, Juju is the number one as well. I really believe Juju Schuster.
Well, he was a team MVP, which also apparently, as Mike reported last week, ticked off Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I just think he's the number one. By the way, Resurgence Orthopedics brings you, in case you missed it. Go ahead, Mike Conte.
We've all been to games where you're sitting next to that guy or that woman or that kid who won't shut up and will shriek and make ear-piercing noise the whole time. People like this kid. That was actually at a Hawks game. That was at a Hawks game last year up in Minnesota. I mean, we've all...
Was he sitting right behind Holman?
He was. Holman referred to that young man as a little slugger. But we've all been in that section with that man or that woman. Shut up. I want to watch the game. Well, at Northwestern, they have a little student section for their basketball games. It's called the Northwestern Wildside, and they are led by Emily Harriet, who is a student there. And listen carefully. This is the last home game they played the other night. See if you can hear her.
Frazier has struggled with his shot the last two games. Jordan's back.
Do you hear that shrieking noise in the background?
That's terrible.
Awful.
Yes.
Now, and she's in like a 7,500-seat gym, and she's clearly heard on television, and she's annoying both teams and the fans. The Northwestern administration tracked her down this week and told her, you've got to tone it down. In fact, this was the exact sentence they told her, according to the Chicago Tribune. Hey, how about we not do that anymore? And she said it caught her a little bit.
Because you're jamming the radar on flights into O'Hare.
Yeah, pretty much.
Holy moly.
And causing the backboard to shatter. She says she's surprised by it because she's been doing it for 3.5 years. The Northwestern administration says they asked her to stop in response to complaints by the Big Ten Network and WGN Radio, their radio partner. Can't make this up.
Wow.
So she's going to stop.
Yeah. That's awful. I know Mike loves kids. He loves kids on planes sitting next to him.
Yeah.
There's nothing Mike really wants is to have a child next to him on a flight.
I'll tell you what. Little slice of heaven for me 1 week ago today flying back from Orlando. There's just nothing better than that.
Mike Conti, in case you missed it, brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics.
As long as the parents are doling out discipline, Michael, that's the thing.
You know what? You've yelled at people and the parents.
All right, I did one time. The kid's kicking the chair. Hey, you mind not kicking the chair, little buddy? Kid keeps kicking the chair. Finally, I just snap. I go, yo, will you tell your kid to stop kicking the chair? And this big lady, I always get backup from a big black woman. This big black lady, she goes, damn right. Because I'm looking at it and I go, don't negotiate with the kid. Tell him not. If I was kicking the chair in front of me as a child, my old man would hit me so hard, I would have had that class rank, doink, banging off my cranium.
Did the kid stop kicking?
Yes.
Okay. Well, once I think the black woman scared him.
Well, she did look like Florida. She did look like David Ortiz. Yes, you're right.
Coming up, we go on the sidelines with the Dogs. They have a new coordinator. We're live at Twin Peaks. It's Dukes and Bell.